This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Week one may be over, but the season's just getting started at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off week two, DraftKings is giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $200 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps to get your $200 in free bets instantly this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, and Davey Hudson. Fan Run Radio.
We will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate
football time in Tennessee.
As an entire football program, we want to play fast and be physical. The type of program that we want to have and we will have at Tennessee. We want to be innovative, but we want to have fun. There's not a better place in America to do that than Knoxville, Tennessee. It's a special place to come play college football, and everything and anything that you want to do in the game and outside of the game has been done at Tennessee and will be done again.
But Dad, I want to be a rodeo clown.
Dang it, Bobby.
Excited to run out of the tunnel and make that right-hand turn behind Smokey and ready to play in front of 103,000 in Neyland Stadium.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, that's no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to. Place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world. Leave the real one far behind. We can dance. We can dress real neat from our hearts to our feet and surprise them with a victory cry. Say, we can act if we want to. If we don't, nobody will. And you can act real
good. Welcome in to the Michael Hart Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio.
I don't have time for it this morning. Don't even.
What?
You came in with a bad attitude.
I tried to change it.
No one in here is even saying anything. It's Victory Monday.
It is Victory Monday.
You said. Oh, okay. You
said. They didn't score. I told you they weren't going to score.
You also said we'd score, what, 40?
49.
Yeah.
We scored 56.
You lowballed them.
What was your score prediction?
54.
To what?
Six, maybe?
You had no
three?
Confidence in the defense.
Three? I can't remember. At least it had us above 50. Take that, Matt. I mean, it doesn't count, but take that.
Yeah.
Didn't even play that well, hung 50. Just a ho-hum.
Just a workmanlike performance.
Right.
Did you guys see the stat that ESPN released about us in Tennessee Tech?
Yes, we're the first team to ever beat the same FCS opponent by 53 times in a row.
Yeah, the Vols
in all shutouts.
First straight FBS team with three straight 55-point shutout wins against a single opponent in the AP poll era since 1936.
How about that? Just
take that, Tennessee Tech.
Here's your $500,000 in this butt whooping. Ha!
It's better than paying them to come beat you.
This is true. We tried that before.
They were really, really bad. I mean, there's bad and then
okay.
I'm not.
You are.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you're.
We beat them 56-0. That's fine. I can say that they're really bad. It's not like that's not a negative comment about Tennessee. Now, if we won 21-20, yeah, that would be. But we won 56-0.
Oh, no. As I get off the lake and I check the score, I'm like, okay, yeah. Looks mm-hmm. good. Took care of, and everyone is just, oh, the beeping and moaning on Twitter.
You're projecting that onto me already. I haven't said a thing yet.
Yeah, you have. I heard you before the show started. Like, sorry.
The show. You're not on the show.
Oh, okay.
A lot of guys didn't play.
I'm aware.
So, you know, we took it easy. Joe Milton. I mean, you know, he's walking around fine on the sideline.
We're resting him. I think that should put to bed, is he injured or benched? Clearly injured.
Yes, clearly injured.
Yeah.
Harrison Bailey got to play.
Yeah, he scored a touchdown. He's a dual threat. Mobile. Just, you know. Are we talking about, what are we doing? Are we talking about the game? Is there anything? Okay. Is there anything really to talk about?
Well, everyone's still frustrated that the canny receivers down the field, even Josh Heupel, he cut the reporter off halfway through the question.
Oh, really? I didn't hear.
You guys noticed that too, huh?
Yeah, Coach, we've kind of noticed it through the first three games. It seems to be a pretty big issue thus far.
Mm-hmm.
As is protection. And just wide open. I just don't understand it. I just don't get it. You watch any game all weekend, guys get open, the quarterback just lobs it up there for a completion. It's like one of the easiest things to do, and we just can't seem to do it. Makes no sense.
Yeah, I mean, they called like the same play back-to-back. And he got open, I think, both times. And we dropped one, and then we overthrew him on the next one.
Well, that's a thing, too. Hooker put one on the money to Peyton, I think, on the left sideline, mm-hmm. and jumps up with two hands and just bounces off. He did have a nice catch in the back of the end zone.
Yep.
Pretty good throw. Pretty good throw for it being as late as it was. He, like, triple-checked it before he finally threw it. That was one of those where I was worried Peyton was going to fly into the wall and hurt himself.
Yeah.
Here's an issue for you. I'll save the good stuff for tomorrow. Tyon Evans, 15 carries, 41 yards. Jalen Wright, 9 carries, 43 yards. Not terrible. Leading rusher, Hendon Hooker, 9 carries, 64 yards. All three had a touchdown. 4.3 yards a carry against Tennessee Tech. Didn't you say they were a little bit better against the run than the pass? Or was it the opposite?
I think that's right.
17 of 25 for 199 and 3 touchdowns, no picks. However, Hendon Hooker was sacked once. Was that the fumble?
No, because the fumble, he broke it up. He broke it open for about 10-15 yards and just got lit up.
Just got jacked. Golly, I'm glad his leg didn't plant.
I'm glad his leg didn't snap.
It looked like he might have. Yeah, like he might have hurt his knee pretty bad, but luckily he was just. I don't know, kind of like maybe kind of just overall body pain.
Just shook a little bit.
Yeah, just shook up. You know, I just a little shook up.
Yeah,
came back out, looked fine after that. Thank goodness.
Thank goodness, indeed.
His only problem is you can pencil him in for a fumble a game.
Well, that's good on you. I mean, two games, and he has fumbled in each of them. So, law of averages. And
well,
just,
he fumbled twice in this one, really.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh, you're saying, yeah, at least one
fumble. It's a small sample size, but Hickman is correct.
Yeah. Were you able to go back and watch it?
Most of it.
Okay.
Not most of it. Some of it.
We needed four downs to get first downs.
Yeah.
With the starters in the game.
We were 4 or 5 on fourth down, though.
which
I mean that shows you, man. You give these guys a good play on fourth down, and
I don't mean this in regards of coaching finality like we talked about last week with your mm-hmm. list and stuff, but that's a red flag for this football team for this season as you prepare for SEC play. When it takes four downs to get first downs against Tennessee Tech, it's not – I mean, the offensive line just – they weren't moving anybody. They weren't getting to the second level ever. Like, even when they blocked up, kind of, you know, built a wall on a run play and no one got any penetration, it was just kind of like then up to the back to make a linebacker miss or break a tackle. And they did it a few times because, you know, it's Tennessee Tech. But – yeah, the offensive line really needs to get healthy, get guys back in the right spot.
Get healthy. Well, hopefully we'll have Cooper back, right?
Yeah. Seems like it. Who got hurt? Adam, was it?
It was Cade.
Cade got, yeah, Cade.
Well, Cade, but then Kingston Harris went down. What?
All right.
I mean, we got to have a guy. We got to have some guys play.
No, yeah, we're guard short. We're guard short. Pretty clear.
Ollie Lane came in.
How did he do?
I don't know.
All right.
It was pretty rough.
Mm-hmm.
The defense was
they
good.
Flying around, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They've been a pleasant surprise so far. They've been better than I expected.
Flying around, you know? Four interceptions?
Yeah.
Four some turnovers.
We finally got some turnovers. Everybody was complaining about that coming in.
So
the
now
game.
We're Let's see, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. Did we, I can't remember the other games.
So we're minus one on the season now.
Do you know who led the team in tackles, Houston?
No.
Aubrey Solomon.
You don't say.
Yep. Tied for the total with Byron Young.
Well, you know,
he had more solos, though.
We shouldn't be surprised. I mean, when this show notices something and calls it out, those guys listen and they say, man, that's right. Aubrey Solomon hasn't even played it down. We should probably get him in the game. Maybe he finally earned the trust from Coach Rodney Garner. Finally got that weight down to a number where Coach Garner could say, you know what, son? You're going to get some PT against the worst team on our schedule. But go out there and show me what you got.
Make a
what you
of
made
tackles.
Of. Yeah, six tackles. Half a tackle for loss, that's pretty good for Aubrey Solomon. Eight tackles for loss as a team, that's pretty good. Not to mention the four sacks. Did anyone have a solo sack? I'm seeing a lot. Oh, yeah, okay. Morvin Joseph had a sack. Danico Slaughter. And then we had Theo Jackson half sack. Jaquan Blakely half sack. Tyler Barron half sack. Aaron Beasley half sack. Nice.
Yeah.
Just making it happen. You know, I'm going to give them some credit, man. Like, I think they checked all my boxes on the things I want to see. The drive got mad at me. I knew they would, but.
Why'd they get mad at you?
Because I did the number three, like Russell.
Yeah.
I didn't call it the five things I want to see. These were just things I was looking for.
Well, the drive has lots of numbers.
These were the eight things I was looking for.
Okay.
Not the five things I want to see. But, yeah, they said I would call it more of homage, not thievery.
Okay.
I mean, when it's so blatant of a knockoff, it's clear that I'm not trying to steal it as my own idea. Although I will admit, this station, certain shows have a real problem with thinking they did something for the first time. Like, for example, the guys on the Blitz, they're doing a thing where they have
they're
to draw a punishment. Do
yeah,
I care?
Yeah.
No. Am I going to sit up here and whine, oh, well, we did punishment? No, because there's nothing new under the sun. But when I say, hey, here's some things I'm looking for in the game this weekend.
And I number them.
Yeah, and they're in an order of in which you give them a number. The drive's like, well, wait a minute. We did that first in 1981. You know, it's fine. We'll move on. Looking at you, Bear. I mean, I forced a turnover, hit a deep ball. We kind of did. Maybe not.
Did we? No.
Kind of.
No.
No, the touchdown. It was like 30-something yards. I think I said 40 in the air, though, didn't I? Didn't I have a specific?
You wanted 2 40 in the air and one. You wanted 3 total, 2 in the air. You said 3 over 40, 2 in the air.
Like I said, they might not have hit the deep ball one. Number 3 was don't be stupid, 4 penalties or less. Then we have 4 penalties, including one to open the game on a kickoff, in which
we have this awesome kickoff return, Bayless Jones.
Hell yeah. Everyone's excited.
And then it's like flag on the play, and I'm like, there we go. There it is.
You know what, Nate? You can say that. They overcame. We had 3 penalties all day, 3 for 35. That's a check. Mm. That's a check plus. Number 4, build depth. You played just about everybody.
Yeah, we did.
That's how you build depth. You can't just watch it happen and say, "Yep, got some depth there now."
I didn't really notice this, but there was at least one, you know, media person that was kind of like couldn't believe the starters were in as long as they were.
Well, we're building depth and improving the top end of it.
Said, you know, the starters scored the touchdown to make it 49-0.
That's about the number. And okay. It was in the third quarter. I don't know. I mean, it would have been, I guess, late-ish in the third quarter. But the 3 remember. Quarters, you know.
I didn't really notice that live. I was like, eh, okay. I mean, I noticed that when Harrison Bailey came into the game, it was like, all right, it's time for all the backups to get some run.
Mm-hmm.
And that really helped him look, you know, pretty poor, I'm sure.
Yeah. Number 5, I had run the scheme.
I mean, yeah.
Like the backups? And
I don't know what that means.
Check! That's what it means. It means check. I said less than 200 yards of offense given up through 3 quarters. Well, let's talk about a humdinger. They only gave up 179 for the game. For
Shut
the game,
down.
Nate. 4 sacks or more. Cha-ching! Check. 4 sacks exactly. No more than 3 punts through the first 3 quarters. Check. I think we only punted twice, once? I don't know. Punts. 4 punts.
It was late in the third when they scored that next to last.
Well, you got to give them a good 3 quarters. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to make sure they're at least sweating out there, you know?
All right. What did you think of Harrison Bailey?
To be determined. I didn't get that far yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
3 of 7, 16 yards.
Yeah, a lot of people just went ahead, cooked their crow, and ate it. Just said, all right, Heupel, fine. You win.
Oh, really? They surrendered?
We don't see it. Yep. Now, I don't know. Davey, he's got his finger more on the pulse of the Vol for Lifers. I don't know if there's still people out there, you know, some other people going to bat, still want to see more.
I'd like to give a shout-out to the Vol for Life Facebook group.
Uh-huh.
They, over 700 of them, couldn't find the game. So one true Vol fan decided to just sit there and film his TV so they could watch.
And what did they think?
It's illegal.
I wasn't a true Vol fan, but I don't know. I didn't. There were a bunch of them complaining about how they need to get a game thread on there, kind of like you see on a lot of the message boards.
Mm-hmm.
But it was more of a, you know, I'm just proud those boys went out there and played for the big orange. Yeah.
Are you kidding? Did you actually? That's what they said. We're proud that they played. That doesn't make any sense.
No, they're proud of how they played. You know, they went out there and they represented the big orange and got a win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you're wanting an in-depth observation,
well, he asked you specifically about the quarterbacks.
Well, the answer is he didn't notice. So,
yeah, he did.
That's fine.
And shout out to Scotty from Maynardville for making it happen.
Interesting. Interesting. All right, so we turn the page on Tennessee. Are we done with Tennessee Tech?
I don't know. What do you want to?
That's what I'm asking you.
Didn't get to the Harrison.
I'm watching it. I mean, I'm watching it right now.
I was going all weekend, and I watched it like it was live, in depth, just that game.
When did you watch it?
Yesterday.
What, did you not watch any NFL?
I'd missed the whole 1 o'clock window. Saw the Titans come back and win.
Hey, that's a good one. That was a good one.
All hail the king.
Finally. It's amazing what happens when you just kind of keep giving him the ball. We'll get to that later.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, never mind. Okay, I'll get to that later. You know, Joe Milton was over there cutting up on the sidelines, Nate. It doesn't seem like a guy who's worried about losing his job. He's handing teammates towels. He's over there.
He's, yeah.
Talking in, coaching, right behind Heupel. I'll tell you what I did like. Heupel wasn't happy after this game. You just won 56-0.
Oh, okay.
He stormed off the field, went into the locker room, got on that microphone, and talked like he was way madder after this game than he was after Pitt, by the way.
Yeah. Speaking of red flags
you
for
know
the
what?
Season.
Clearly, we took it all out of Pitt. We just stressed their defense so bad that they just didn't have anything left in the tank for Michigan. Western Michigan.
This is kind of a positive take. That Western Michigan – no, actually, it's not positive. I'll just leave it alone. They're trash. I watched them play Michigan at the beginning of the year.
I couldn't hear what you said.
I said they were trash.
She got it. That's okay. Yeah.
All right.
My wife's been doing picking up everything lately.
They're awful.
Not awful enough, but
people got on to me because I said that Heupel had the easiest opportunity. This Pitt team might be worse than that UCLA team.
They're not. They're just not. I mean, I watched both games. Like, at least Pitt has a senior quarterback. This was just defense. UCLA they were just bad on both sides of the ball. We just hadn't figured it out yet. Like, he did figure Crompton out at the end of the Auburn game going into, I think it was Georgia. If that team had been figured out, they dog walk UCLA. But it does, clearly this Pitt team is not the juggernaut that maybe some hoped it would be to kind of make us look a little bit better.
Right, right.
Was that loss at Pitt? Had to be, right?
Yep.
Yes. 44-41.
I mean, Pickett threw for 6 touchdowns.
No, Pickett was really good. I mean, they scored 41 points again.
Is this
they just happened to give up 44.
Kind of another red flag on our offense. It's weird.
It's another one. I mean, I think anybody who left that Pitt game realized we left about 8 damn touchdowns on the field. Right? I mean, we had at least 2.
Yeah, we should have.
We were 2 yards away from the goal, you know, from the end zone twice and got a field goal out of it. So there's 3 out of a possible 14. You overthrew at least 5 deep balls, completely just overthrown, that would have been big plays or touchdowns.
Actually, this makes me feel a little bit better because, you know.
How's that?
Well, I mean, Pitt lost, but their offense went up and down the field. They scored 20 second quarter points against Western Michigan as well. It just shows that, you know. I think our defense is a little better than I expected this season.
They scored exactly the same amount of points. How many turnovers did Western Michigan? It doesn't matter. The problem there is that Western Michigan was able to capitalize on their offensive opportunities, and we weren't.
Pitt turned it over 3 times.
Well, didn't we have 3, right? 2 fumbles? Yeah, we turned it over 3 times again. So it's about the same style game, except they lost, you know. To Western Michigan.
Well, except their quarterback threw for 337 and 3 touchdowns.
You know why? Because all the guys that were running open, and he probably hit them. Yeah. It's a big one. It's a big one. They probably – well, the good news is Heupel knows how to expose a team. If you want to get
the playbook.
Yeah, I mean, Western Michigan's like, man, look what Tennessee did. If they had a quarterback, it's like, well, you know, we have a quarterback. We should just do what they did. Okay, let's do that.
We'll just throw it to Crooms. He'll catch it.
Crooms.
Corey Crooms. 8 catches, 161, and a touchdown. Long of 54. Wonder how far it went in the air.
Probably 54. Just landed in the end zone.
Oh, gosh.
Well, good thing Florida doesn't look good.
It's a good thing Florida got really beat up and is terrible, and Alabama thrashed them.
I was out on the water, and buddy was fishing with me. And I said, I left my phone in the car.
Yeah.
I said, hey, well, check that Bama score. He's like, 21-3 Bama, first or second quarter. And I'm like, yeah. And then we'll have to get to that game later. I don't want to necessarily break it down, but we didn't talk about it.
I think they win if Richardson plays.
Well, that's actually where I was going next. He didn't even play.
Didn't even
he was
play.
Doing backflips on the field before the game, and he didn't even get a snap.
Oh, I didn't. Backflips.
Yeah. He was just jogging and then just decided to basically
do like
throw some gymnastics.
I don't know.
Moves around. I mean, the kid is just like a absolute freak whenever you look at him athletically.
Well, it was 21-3 at the end of the first quarter.
Yep.
And then Florida got it going. The only problem they had, really, was missing that second quarter extra point, which cost them the game. They had to go for two.
Cost them overtime, for sure.
And that was it.
We'll get to that game.
All right.
Yeah. Got to break down this quarterback. We got a quarterback
week
conundrum.
Three victory Monday for Tennessee, 56-0, just like we all predicted.
At least they hung a goose egg. That's big time.
Yeah.
Yep.
Defense scored a touchdown.
Yeah, they did. Yep. I got my turnovers. I got my sacks. Maybe that's just what the defense needed to have some confidence going up against,
checked all the boxes.
Almost.
I got a take that could be good or bad for Tennessee.
The suspense is driving me crazy.
Yeah.
We'll come back with more.
Find out more after this.
So Davey's got a hot take. So we welcome you back into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, Fan Run Radio. Pick up some White Claw this weekend. You get set for a big one with in the Swamp, Tennessee, Florida.
Yeah.
Coming up, 7 o'clock.
Under the lights.
Under the lights. White Claw Hard Seltzer, delicious fruit flavors.
A wave of refreshment.
Mm-hmm. Only 1 gram of sugar, 100 calories. It's White Claw, hard seltzer.
It is.
What you got for us, Davey?
All right, this one's pretty far out of left field, but
okay.
The officiating can either win us the game or lose us the game if this past week is any indication.
I've always been told that officials don't decide the outcome of games, so that I don't know if that's possible.
Yeah.
So if you think we're going to get some calls in the Swamp.
We always do. Just against Florida in general. I mean, if you go back over the history of this rivalry, we always get the calls.
I know one crew we won't have. So, maybe even two.
Go on.
I mean, there's going to be a couple crews likely suspended.
Well, the SEC screwing over their own team was really something in that Memphis-Mississippi State game.
Well, yeah, they tried to help
them. At least they were helping in the whiteout.
Yeah.
I mean, that crew tried to take a down away from Penn State. Some of the spots they were giving Auburn.
It's like, we're going to mark them forward progress, even though they fall forward 4 yards after this.
Yeah, well, to be fair, the refs never said forward progress. They just said, yeah, that was it. This is where he was down. This is where he stopped. It was a fake punt by Penn State on fourth down. Big number 97 plows in the line. He's about a half yard short for a split second in slow motion before being pushed 2 yards past the first down marker.
Mm-hmm.
Those SEC officials go, yep, no, you paused right there. You're down. Auburn football. Didn't even matter. Penn State still beat him.
I'll maintain, man. That's what happened to Tennessee v. Pitt. The ACC refs just said, gotta mark him a little short here.
How do we explain the SEC refs completely just bamboozling Mike Leach of Mississippi State?
Well,
they're like, oh, this onside kick, did it go 10 yards? Yep, went 10 yards, but we found a penalty.
Memphis has a history of some shady backdoor dealings, the university I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't be surprised if, they got a FedEx package to the house filled with, some green.
Yep.
Pieces of paper.
Maybe that was it.
Could be.
The SEC's already had to put out a statement because there was a punt. If some of you missed it, there was a punt in the Mississippi State punted. A player was going to, trying to down the punt, but he was going to basically fall into the end zone.
So he bats it backwards. So,
yep. The ball
never really came to rest long enough to be.
Although one guy did touch it with his knee on the ground. Although apparently you have to pick it up.
Well, yeah, for it to be dead. Or it has to kind of sit there long enough for the official to blow
it
dead.
To say dead, right.
As the Memphis player picked the ball up.
See, the weird part about that to me.
Yeah.
It's almost like the Memphis player knew. Who does that?
They're taught to do that. Everyone should do that. There's no risk.
Yeah.
But there were four guys standing around right there. Like, if you pick it up and bobble it.
No. Once the ball's touched by the kicking team, you can advance it, and no matter what happens, the ball will go back to that spot.
If you pick that up and fumble it and they get it, you still get the football.
Okay.
That's why when the ball's rolling,
that's good coaching.
There's like four or five guys always standing right around it. You know? They're like, it's like, guys, why do we all need to protect the ball? It's because when the first guy reaches down to touch it, if for some reason he touches it, doesn't pick it up, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you see in the NFL a lot of times because they're much more experienced in special teams. A lot of times the ball gets batted, always a gunner will try and run in and snag it. Sometimes they'll snag it, get hit, fumble it, the crowd will go crazy, and it doesn't matter
because
it just goes back. But, yeah, it's always smart to pick it up. The problem was the SEC back judge waved his hands in a stop-the-clock motion and blew his whistle.
See, I never heard the whistle blow.
Picked it up and ran 99 or 95 yards, 97, I think.
Davey assures me he did blow the whistle. He definitely signaled
his hands.
I heard
a whistle. It might not have been that ref.
It shouldn't matter. If a whistle blows, a whistle blows. I mean, we've had plenty of plays called dead.
Not only that.
They didn't review it either.
So not only did the back judge blow it, the SEC then had to put out a statement saying,
blow it as in blow the play or his whistle or both?
Both.
Well, all of that, yes. But The SEC had to say, and that is a reviewable play, and we should have reviewed it, and yeah.
And they did have two guys with the same number on, which, based off their own interpretation of the rules, you can retroactively have a penalty on a play, even if you don't call a penalty on the play.
Which happened later in the game, on an onside kick.
Yes, which could have very easily altered the outcome of that game.
Especially since Mississippi State had gone down and scored in two plays. I think the previous drive. Or maybe that was the next time they got the ball back, after the onside kick failure. I can't remember the order. It was insanity. And it cost me SEC Survivor, and I'm not happy about it.
Mm. Sorry to hear that.
Mm-hmm. It ranks right up there with your first down in the, what was that, A&M and LSU?
I honestly can't remember. There were so many wins by LSU in that game. There was a pick with a late hit on the quarterback.
The quarterback was down.
Yeah, he threw an interception, and they said
that was the right call, at least, because they reviewed it, and his knee was down when he let it go.
Oh.
But the spot is what they never reviewed. It was like fourth down.
Yeah.
He came up a little short, but they spotted it. First down, moved the chains because we were rushing. Like they just ran the next play.
And they stopped. The game should have been over.
Yeah.
Right. Right. No, I feel your pain. I really do. Hickman did not save himself.
Should have used the redraw.
The picks. I was close. I got two out of three. I missed the leading rusher.
Was the leading rusher?
Oh.
I'll tell you in a second.
I'll look it up.
Tennessee
was the biggest blowout. Should have seen that.
Told you. You even said they wouldn't score. But who'd you pick for biggest blowout?
No, I had Missouri. They scored enough. They scored more points. They just gave up 21
bunch.
In the fourth quarter.
Did you take Beatty? I took Beatty.
That was a mistake.
He
had a long run.
He was only like 20 yards back from the leading. He had like 89 or something. I think like 117 or 112.
So no one had a big day on the ground.
No one had a big day on the ground.
Rocco Griffin of Vanderbilt had 107 in their 41-23 loss, which means Davey draws out of the punishment bucket as well.
Who is R. Griffin?
Isn't that what you just said?
That's Vanderbilt.
Okay.
Rocco. Is he the leading?
No, he's not, actually. It's Isaiah Spiller.
Yeah, 117.
Mm. Man, not a big day on the ground, huh?
Some guy named Ford at 128.
For UTC. Oh, that would have been so fun. Now, that would have made the weekend worth it right there.
If
Kentucky had lost. However, they pull one out by the skin of their teeth.
What are they doing? I mean, they had looked
pretty
good. They just
who they got next week? Don't they got LSU next week?
South Carolina.
Okay. Probably a good look-ahead game for them.
A lot of passing yards this week. Bazelak 346, KJ Jefferson 336, Matt Corral 335, Now, JT Daniels had 303.
Max Johnson, 372. But Will Rogers was the pick, 419.
Even losing. Incredible.
50 of 67.
Dude, did you see the stats in that game?
What do you mean?
Because of the long punt return, because of the fact Mississippi State didn't score at all in that one possession I was telling you. Like, they dominated the yardage. I mean, just destroyed Memphis and still found a way to lose.
Refs.
I still maintain that it would have been fun to have Mike Leach here if we'd have hired him, but I'm kind of glad we don't have him because I've realized now watching him that while his version of the air raid is always going to be able to move the football, no matter who they have out there, he still, like, he doesn't manage games well, and he's so just kind of stubborn that, I mean, and you know that LSU game, remember when they looked like $1 million?
Yes.
Well, I mean, A, we know LSU just hasn't been good, really.
And they were really banged up in that game, too.
But I think that was Mississippi State coming into the league with Mike Leach, or Mike Leach coming into the league with Mississippi State, going to run air raid, and LSU going, yeah, it's Mississippi State. They don't have the talent for it. We're just going to play our normal defense. And they roasted them. And now
– and they didn't guard Javonta Payton.
Now everyone says, all right, we're going to play a bunch of zone, drop a bunch of guys, and make you earn it. And, like, they're just – like, Mike Leach will never dominate an opponent like that again unless, A, the opponent's super inferior, or, B, they just – like, the book is out on how to slow down that offense. And everyone's doing it, but the coaches that are able to tweak it and figure out new ways to attack those defenses and then call those plays at the right time, seems like Ole Miss is doing pretty well. Lane Kiffin.
I'd say
the ones that are going to
– they figured it out.
Continue to score. Mike Leach's game management is just – it's just poor.
It's very shoddy, yeah.
And it gets him beat in games where he should win. I mean, Will Rogers did a pretty good job of, you know, taking the check down when it was there. But that play is still going to be 6 yards. Like, it's just, you're still going to have to be really efficient. And, you know.
Brett says, didn't Kentucky lose this past weekend? No, they won. They came storming back.
They won.
And beat UTC.
28-23. They were up one going into the fourth quarter.
Ole Miss handles Tulane 61-21. They pitched a second-half shutout. Matt Corral, first quarterback ever in the SEC with 3 passing touchdowns and 4 rushing touchdowns. Mm. That's called a fantasy football unicorn, folks.
I think Kiffin's going to get him a Heisman this year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Davey, you were...
Oklahoma's not good.
You looked pretty good until halftime of that Tulane-Ole Miss game, and then your take that Tulane would be in it late went out the window. It's a 21-point third quarter. And Oklahoma, what are they doing?
They did have the play of the year in college football. If anything tops that, I'll be stunned. That might be the best catch I've ever seen.
I mean, it blows the OBJ catch out of the water.
Because it was similar, but... different enough. I mean, you've seen that by now,
nope,
right?
I haven't.
Oh, my God. That is... At first, I was worried it was going to be Keyshawn Lawrence, and I was going to go outside and probably get sick for an hour. It's like the Odell Beckham Jr. catch meets gymnastics, and it was... Like at least Odell, it was thrown to him. Like, he kind of was expecting it, but as a defender to do that... running across and then the only one hand touches the football at any given time and it's a catch and tuck and twirl and it was just, you seen it yet?
Yep.
And with Gus Johnson on the call?
Yeah.
I'm getting the slow-mo now.
What'd you think? You seen a better catch than that?
He should have dropped it.
Was it fourth down? It was fourth down, yeah. Actually, no, he should have caught it. It was too good.
Lincoln said he argued challenging the call to see if he actually catched it.
Actually caught it.
If he actually caught it. Sorry.
Just to hope he didn't?
Yeah. I mean, it cost him like 35 yards.
Worth
it. At some point, it's just in the category of like, yeah, I can't separate these anymore. This just goes into the maybe greatest catch ever.
No, that's it.
That's it?
That's the one.
I don't know. I mean, he at least caught like the football. You know,
yes, that's how catches work.
Some of these other ones where they catch the point of the football and spin around. I don't know.
Nate, no.
Okay.
Nate, look at it. The guy is like 8 feet in the air, horizontal, and then he twirls and
great catch.
This is the worst reaction to that catch I've seen yet. Name me does a better catch come to mind?
Okay. No.
That's what I thought. Well, my SEC Survivor Team, Arkansas, they laid it to Georgia Southern 45-10. You mentioned Missouri hung it 59-28 over Southeast Missouri. Sorry about Memphis. LSU. Didn't Central Michigan looked okay against Missouri in week one, but LSU hung it on 49-21. Stanford went into Nashville, and Vanderbilt hung with them for a minute, Dave. They hung with them, and then the Vanderbilt offense started to stall out. Stanford pulls away. Methodical approach, 41-23, your final there. These three fine gentlemen will have SEC Survivor draw at 9:30 for their punishments. I'm safe again.
We'll come back and talk about some of these other SEC games, especially the Florida Gators. Stick with us right here. Final segment, hour one, next.
Nope.
Final segment, hour number one, as we take you through college football over the weekend. Texas A&M won 34-0 at home against New Mexico.
They're not very good.
Zach Calzada had 275 and three touchdowns.
Their defense is okay.
Penn State beat Auburn. You mentioned that, 28-20. The whiteout.
Davey said Harsin would be pretty good. I thought that was a pretty good performance by them.
Just couldn't get it done. That was a good game, back and forth.
They had an opportunity late.
Yeah.
It's usually how it works in close games.
Threw a fade route, an uncatchable fade on the final fourth down. It's great.
Bo Nix doesn't have that strong of an arm.
Great decision by Bo Nix. Like, what are you doing?
He was nervous. The atmosphere got to him. I was watching some, you know, college football breakdown show, and
yeah,
they showed the start of the game with the fireworks and Penn State running out, and they go, Auburn decided to wear all white to the whiteout. As opposed to...
Yeah, what else are they supposed to wear?
They don't even have blue pants, bro. They have white pants. That's it. They have white pants, white jersey, and a blue jersey. Penn State elected to be the home team. You don't say. What were they supposed to do? They don't even have an alternate helmet. So, yes, they wore their away uniforms to a whiteout. You got them. But I thought, Auburn, I mean, they're a pretty good team. I mean, we think Penn State's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
They beat Wisconsin on the road.
They're the best team in the Big Ten.
Okay.
I mean, so far, they've proven the most.
I mean, Ohio State barely, like that score was not indicative of how close that game was against Tulsa. Like, Ohio State's not that good. I would argue, if Michigan's going to have a year to beat Ohio State, this is it.
Mm. How did Michigan do?
Rolled.
Yeah,
they did.
Played some nobody.
63-10.
Oh. Yeah. It is Northern Illinois, I think, yeah.
The Huskies.
You weren't going to learn anything from that game.
Didn't Minnesota look good?
I don't recall.
They played Northwestern, right?
Northwestern's not very good.
No, Duke beat Northwestern.
I don't know. Look out, man. I think Michigan State's pretty good.
Who'd they beat?
They pounded Northwestern.
They beat Miami?
Yeah, they went to Miami this weekend and ran all over them. They keep doing that.
King got hurt.
Again? What did he injure?
Oh, I don't know.
I guess we got
to
do
Minnesota
our...
beat Colorado 30-0, which, because Colorado lost to Texas A&M 10-7, made me go, Minnesota.
Yeah,
pretty good.
But that was, they had a, you know, Haynes King breaking the ankle. They had a touchdown taken off the board because Calzada fumbled as he ran in.
But how about the Gators? They come up next on Tennessee's schedule.
Well, real quick, I'm sorry to inform you, Hickman, you may want to be dropping UCLA after Christopher Gabriel's Fresno State Bulldogs go in and handle the Bruins. That was a great game.
Decisions moving forward.
Great game, man. Wow. Mm. That guy's good. It's amazing how getting it right at quarterback, Jake Haener.
Didn't he have a bum hip, too?
I don't know. The guy could barely walk off the field at the end of it. He was 39 of 53, 455, two touchdowns. The Fresno State Bulldogs, who are now 3-1 with the lone loss coming at Oregon.
JT makes 40, a good 37. Point. I also forgot about my own playoff team, Iowa, who is a top five team. They actually should be
Iowa
in that,
continues
that conversation
to look the part.
As well.
Continues
you just,
to
you
look
just forget
apart.
About them because they still like just go up power eye and they're just going to play really good defense and make the game ugly and beat you up in the trenches.
Do they play Penn State in the regular season?
They're not in the same division, so if they do, it will be...
They do. They host Penn State October 9th.
Ooh.
They get Colorado State at home this weekend, at Maryland the following weekend, then Penn State on October 9th. 2 weeks later, at Wisconsin, October 30th, at Northwestern, Minnesota at home, November 13th, Illinois at Nebraska to close the season, November 26th.
I mean, Iowa's got the easy division. They're in there with Illinois, Purdue, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Northwestern, and Nebraska.
They do look good. Oregon stays undefeated 48-7 over Stony Brook.
Okay.
What? Just looking at some of the top 25 scores here, brother.
Does it feel like this college football season's more wide open than like the previous five?
I think a lot of people are going to say that just because Alabama had a close game, Clemson doesn't look good, Oklahoma doesn't look that good, and you really don't know who's going to come out of the SEC East.
Yeah, it's still a bit early, but I think after week one, everybody was ready to crown Alabama. Truth be told, Miami's not very good. And... You know, some people were saying down year for Florida. Even Florida fans weren't expecting that much out of this team. Didn't think it was national championship caliber. Obviously, they hung with Alabama after getting down big early.
It's the same story for Alabama every year. They play at such a just crisp level that when the game starts, pretty much everyone, even teams that across the board are almost as good, like, can't handle it for a minute. It's like you get punched in the face, and you kind of stumble back. And then Florida was able to kind of, okay, this is what it feels like. This is what we got to do. Yeah. And then they punch back, and it turned into a football game. It kind of felt like that game was going that way last year. They played another quarter in the SEC Championship. Like, Florida was
– No, yeah.
But that happened to Oklahoma, right? Wasn't there in Alabama? Wasn't that the Kyler Murray team?
Yeah,
Alabama
yeah.
just hammered them so hard. That
it was
they
like 28-0, and then
come
all
back.
Yeah, then all of a sudden late, like, it's like, hey, this game's pretty close.
But and a lot of people just chalk that up to, well, Alabama took their foot off the gas. But I don't know that that's part of it. I'm sure.
No, I think
late.
You're right. Most teams, I think it kind of takes them a second to feel the game out, and Alabama just comes out and they execute. I don't know if they always script their first few offensive drives or what. It just feels like for the first quarter, Alabama always knows exactly what they're going to do. And there's no panic, there's no nerves for the game, and they play better early against really good teams. It's wild.
Yeah, I don't.
Nick Saban, I think now, I can't remember the number. He's like if they lead by 18 or more in the game, he's undefeated, and I can't remember the number. It's a huge number.
Well, we'll come back, talk more college football, kickoff hour two next.